We're going to read from Romans chapter 7 on this fifth day after fifth Sunday after Pentecost. We're going to read Romans chapter 7 beginning at verse 15, reading through verse 25. You can remain seated for this. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 7 beginning at verse 15, continuing in the name of Jesus Christ. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I findeth not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, serve the law of sin. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask that you would reveal in and through this word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, not only the insignificance of our flesh, and oftentimes how we put so much emphasis upon it, but rather, Father, show us the significance of the Spirit and the power of your word, the power of your grace, and the strength, Father, that you can give us to endure in these times. We ask that you sanctify us in the truth because we know your word is truth. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. This text is way too real. It really is. This text is immensely real if we were to be honest with ourselves, not just gauging those around us, but rather looking even in our own lives. I've experienced this 100 different ways. I was very impressed with, we were in the kitchen hanging out for a moment and a couple of the ladies were there. And I had made a comment, another lady was going to make a comment, and then she stopped. And someone said, well, she thought about what she was going to say. Jesse doesn't have that gift often. He generally blurts out what he's going to say, and then he kind of repents after. It's a very powerful gift to be able to control your tongue, and I'm not saying she was going to say anything bad. I don't know what she was going to say. But the point being is she didn't feel it was worth value to add to the conversation at the moment anyway. Point being is she had the ability to stop herself, to consider what was being said. We live in a time and a day and age where we often battle our own emotions, our own struggles, even the situations in this world, and then we deal with the aspect of something that we kind of lose sight of. The flesh. We live in a world that tries to bring out the understanding of morals. We try to teach morals. We try to bring people up in the understanding of how great morals can preserve, protect, and guide. But the fact of it is, Jesse understands, at least I think I do, I'll never be saved by morals. But it rears its head often in my life saying, just do the right thing, Jesse, and you're going to be okay. When we turn around and we start looking at that saying, do the right thing, follow the right system, produce the right works, and you're going to be okay, we also have another underlying thing. When we don't do them, we feel we're not okay. And that's a battle. Do you think God still hears you in your plight? In the difficulty that you're in, do you feel that God really hears and knows your situation, or do you feel alone? I don't like to pick on other people. I do, but not in the pulpit. So I'll pick on my own self. I was having a pity party. I don't know if any other pastors in this room have had that situation where you're having a pity party, but I was having a pity party. And I really have been struggling. You know, in the recent month, I've only spent probably 2 days in the office here. And both times I was called into the office to mow lawn and to fix shingles on the roof. Now please don't read into this. Hear what I'm saying. Please don't think I'm complaining about my job. Hear what I'm saying. And if you're type that sleeps, go to sleep now. Then I go to Lefty. God is blessing Lefty. I know sometimes we get sick of hearing about Lefty, but I've been good lately. I haven't talked too much about it. But immense things are happening out there. And I've been scrubbing toilets, vacuuming floors, mowing lawns, weed whacking. And I was grumbling to my wife. I'm telling you this for a purpose. I'm not wasting your time. I was grumbling to my wife. Sometimes I wonder if I'm pastor or janitor. I found myself so insecure when people would come up to me during the last few events and they'd say, well, you're the caretaker here. And I felt so insignificant. I'd say, yeah, but I'm the pastor at Zion too. Like that mattered to them. They were from Chicago. What did they care about Zion? So I was struggling immensely with this. And I got up this morning and I went in the farmhouse because my wife was utilizing our bathroom. And I started doing my morning rituals, you know, shaving, sin, doing all that stuff. And I turned the radio on. And I was listening to Y101. I heard some goofball pastor from a year ago preach a message about putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. And I am that pastor. It was on the radio. Bruce Crossing put it on. And I thought, man. And I think God revealed that to me. He's like, Jesse, you preach this. Do you believe it? But then there's a Cornerstone Church ministry out of Ramsey, Michigan, and this guy is a phenomenal preacher. He is preaching a message, and he talked about the very same thing after. He said, I was out at our church camp. Doing the mundane. I was out mowing the lawns. I was out weed whacking. And I was thinking, what significance is this? Now, come on, tell me that's not freaky. Am I serving God even in this capacity? And then he brought the message full circle to the aspect of when we have patience as a farmer, the one who plants the seed and allows God to do the rest, that we will see miracles. We will see great things. That it doesn't have to be about our honor and glory. We're not doing it for ourselves. We are doing it in reality for the honor and glory of God. And my main point of bringing all of this in that you had to endure and listen to is God hears us. He hears us in His plight. He delivers to us in a message. But what was the main thing that I had to do? I had to listen. I had to be willing not to turn on the wolf, but to turn on Y101. To listen to the Word of God being preached. And it spoke to me. So now I'm going to go the other side of this and I'm going to ask pastors or those that serve, do you listen? Are we so busy serving? Are we so busy distributing that we don't get an opportunity to hear? I needed to hear that. So I repent of that thought. I repent of my unbelief and my struggle. I repent in reality of my flesh rearing its ugly head and wanting position. And I ask that God would receive me as a servant. That no matter what I'm called to do, that I would do it with joy, and that I would do it for His honor and glory. Paul, he understood this. He understood the battle. He understood about positions as he was before called a Pharisee of Pharisees, that he was blameless in the law, that he had such honor when he walked down the streets in Jerusalem, people would salute him as a high Pharisee, a set apart one. And Paul says, you know what? It's all false. Because I'm nuts. I love Paul's realness. And yes, I'm actually going to get to our text. He says, I'm nuts. I love how Pastor Jay would characterize this. He says, Paul actually comes to the point of saying, I'm strangely schizophrenic. That which I want to do, I don't do it. That which I don't want to do, he says, that's actually what I do. He says, I'm beside myself. I'm crazy. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do the actions that I have to end up doing. How many times as husbands have we done that? Your wife makes a comment, we think we're so macho, we think we're so proud, we think we're the breadwinner, whatever it may be, and we make a stupid comment. And you know, whether you're not going to admit it or not, I will admit it, I've made many of them thinking, I wish I could pull those words back. I didn't want to say that. A diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain. That's often what we have. He says, those things, he says, which I don't allow, he says, I actually do. He says, those things that I want to do, I actually don't do. He says, and then when I actually go down this road, he says, actually, I'm consenting to the fact it's not a problem with the law. The problem's with me. I think that's very powerful. We live in a day and age where we want to take and we want to cast out the law. We live in a day and age where we want to say, well, all things are permissible. And that is biblical. Oh, boy, he brought in something bad, huh? All things are lawful. Who else said that? Apostle Paul. You shouldn't listen to a crazy pastor, so I'm going to tell you what Paul says. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He says very plainly in chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. Not my words. If you open your Bible and you look at it, that's what it says. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me. He repeats it again. But I will not be bought under the power of any. Isn't that awesome? We spend our lives trying to draw a line in the sand to try to figure out exactly where we can come up to. And that's Jesse's plight. See, if I put a line right here, you know, this is the line. I can come to the very edge. But as long as I don't fall off, I can even go like this. Right? I know it's weird, hey? Zion pastor stepped out from behind the pulpit. That was another line in the sand. But anyway. We often do that, trying to figure out where is good, where is bad, what do we do? Paul says, Christ died for it all. There is no more sin in Jesus Christ. We don't want to hear that, do we? In unbelief, it's powerful. In unbelief, we are lost. The greatest sin in reality is unbelief. But yet, in and through Jesus Christ, to the believer, there is no more line in the sand. So then he says, all things are lawful unto me. I can't start depicting, because what do we do when we do that? What I do is okay. What you do is wrong. I have my limitations, but you're overextending. Paul says, everything is lawful. There is no more line in the sand. He says, not all things are expedient. They don't bring honor and glory to God. They're more for my convenience. So let's talk about a pretty innocent sin, right? Or an innocent item. I shouldn't say sin. Innocent item. Raha. Money. Raha is Finnish for money. I probably am not pronouncing it perfectly, but hey, For half Italian, that's what you get. But anyways, money. We've often turned around, and in fact, I think in this nation is getting bolder and bolder that anyone that's rich is bad. Well, look at the prophets of old. They weren't poor. It's never wrong to have money. It's only wrong if money has you. All things are lawful unto me. I can have it. I can utilize it. As Luther would say, I take the unrighteous mammon, the money of this world, and I use it righteously to honor and glory God. All things are lawful unto me. I can have it. It may not bring honor and glory to God at all times. I may use it for my own convenience to go to Carmelita's and get myself a good chimichanga or something like that. I might go buy myself a four-wheeler. That four-wheeler is not necessarily bringing honor and glory to God. I might just enjoy it. It's for my convenience. I can haul my firewood. I can do all kinds of things. Paul says it's lawful again. But what is the statement that follows? I will not be brought under the power of any. It's never wrong to have money. It's only wrong when money has you. It's never wrong, in reality, to have a glass of wine. Ooh, that's one of our specklers, eh? But it's wrong when that wine has you. It's never wrong, in reality, to have love in a healthy marriage. But yet, when we turn around and we use that love in manipulating ways, it's wrong. Someone once came to me and said, so you're saying lying. Lying is permissible. All things are lawful unto me. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because they were looking to actually tear down the scripture, but God's word is consistent. So I see Joe. Joe asked me, Jesse, you never showed up for this appointment. How come you didn't? And I'm like, oh boy. I didn't want to tell him I just don't like him. I didn't want to tell him anything else, so I lied to him. I told him, well, I couldn't because I was over visiting, you know, Mrs. Rantahala over here, and it was very important. Well, guess what? Tammy comes walking up to us. Hey, Jesse, I missed you. You were going to come with Joe and I. How come you didn't show up? What do I have to say? I have to say the same thing. I was over visiting Mrs. Rantala over there. It was very important. Now who's in control? The lie controls me. God's word is very consistent. What in our life controls us? And so now he turns around and he says, those things that I want to do, I don't often do them. The things I don't want to do, I often do that. He says, I'm consenting. The law is good. It reveals. It's not the law that's the problem. It's me. He says, so now I realize something else happens. It's something foreign. Because he says, I have this desire to do the right thing. He says, but now actually, I'm consenting that the law is good. Because it's no longer I that do it. It's not Jesse that always opens his mouth and says the stupid thing. It's often in my flesh. There's a lot of things that I know I shouldn't do. But often I trip up, if I could say it in that way, and have a tendency to do it. Do you do the same? Are you always perfect? Do you always say the right thing? Do you always make the right action? And do you ever say to yourself, I mean, seriously, do you ever say to yourself, why did I do that? Because we live in two worlds. We deal with the flesh and we deal with the spiritual. And there's always this battle. And so you can see the struggle that Paul is bringing out here. I remember years ago, my wife shared this with me, that her mother was a wonderful wife, a wonderful lady. I'm bragging about her a little. She's in heaven. Both her and Billy are in heaven now. But she always had this bad habit. I had a nice four-post bed. And she'd take a wash towel that was wet. She'd always throw it on one of the top posts. And it drove Billy crazy. And he would chastise Mother every time. You're going to stain the bed. You're going to make white spots. Whatever it may be. You know how that goes. And another day, after 27 years, 37 years, 50 years of marriage, I don't know how long, but a long time, Billy comes into the bedroom, and there's a wet washcloth on the post. Mama, why? Why do you gotta do this? Every time. How many times have I told you? And she looked at him and she said, the good that I would, I do not, but the bad that I would not, that I do do. Sometimes our flesh takes over. Sometimes we're not thinking in the spiritual. Sometimes we're just acting out the motion. God knows this. God knows this, and He gives us endurance, He gives us strength, and He gives us a call by the power of His Holy Spirit to turn. But He never expects in reality perfection out of this flesh. This flesh will die. This flesh, we often forget, will never repent. This flesh will never convert. I believe there will be those in heaven that live in sin by the flesh. And they will rejoice in new life, freed from that sin, in the heavenly bliss. It's hard for me to say that because we turn around and say, well, Pastor, how can you make a statement like that? Well, the Scripture even says to think it in reality is just as wrong. I'm a sinner. Not only have I thought, I've acted. I've acted in my sinfulness, but yet I come to the Father in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, asking for the strength to go on another day. We have this saying, in spite of ourselves, God loves us. And that is the truth. We experience this with our children. We experience this with family. Family is an amazing thing. In a healthy family, we will receive, we will encourage, we will love those that are faulty. Can't we do it in the body of Christ? To love those that are faulty, that have struggles, that have burdens. He turns around very plainly. He says, I understand it's no longer me that's acting. It's actually my flesh. It's a sin that dwells in me. He says, now, I know that in me, and he's not talking about who he is in Christ, he says, clarifies this, that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. It will never convert. It will never repent. He says, because I understand this, for will to will is always present with me. I always want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but sometimes I just don't. But how to perform that, how to do that, I don't know. And see, he's really bringing out this understanding. He's looking at that fleshly part. He's saying, I understand in me there's no good. In my flesh, that is, he clarified. So, when I think about what I want to do, I don't know how to do it. When I look to myself. And that is the answer for each and every one of us. When we look to ourselves, we will be dismayed. When we look to ourselves. What is that song that we sing? I look not inward. For that would make me what? Wretched. Paul says, I can't find it within myself. It's not there. I am not saved by grace through me. I'm saved by grace through Him. He says, for the good that I would, I don't do it. But the evil which I would not, he says, actually quite often, that's what I do. And then he turns around and he says, so now, if I actually do what I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. He says, that's not the intent of my heart. That is the flesh operating. How does God look? I love how God even speaks when he talks about the anointing of David, the king. God very boldly speaks and he says, you know, you human beings, you look to the outside. You look to the outside, he said, but I do not look that way. I look to the heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we so focused on the outside? Are we so focused on what people are doing on the outside that we don't see the intent of the heart? When we turn around and we observe people acting in certain ways, do we turn around and condemn them and cut them off? Or do we reveal to them and reveal to them Christ within us? That they may have a greater hope, that they can have the strength to step beyond the addiction, to step beyond the struggle, step beyond the hatred, to step beyond their own self-doubt. Can we point them to one who has given all? Christ Jesus. He says, Now, in this aspect, in this principle, I find a new working, new law, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. I think it's interesting, I opened this message by saying this morning I had to go to the farmhouse to take care of the morning rituals that we do. And I don't know if you caught it or not, I said, and I got up there and I shaved sin. We're always trying to find sin out there. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This, in reality, is my sinfulness. But yet Paul himself says, I crucify the flesh daily. I don't live in what I can see. I live in the promises of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Left to your own devices, each and every one of you, I don't know how good you think you are far from perfect. I know this because I am far from perfect. In my flesh, I am tainted. But yet, I want you to know something else. In and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are perfect. God looks at you in His righteousness and through His redeeming work, and He sees His child in perfection. In spite of what the world may see, in spite of what your cousin, your aunt, Matilda, whoever else it may be, sees, God sees His child redeemed and washed and made pure and holy in and through the blood of Christ. We know sin is always present, but we don't focus on that. He says, I delight in the law of God. He says, after the inward man. He says, in other words, I have this connection with God. God, by His Holy Spirit, has been poured into me by faith through grace. And now I know what is right. And you know what? Praise God for that. Praise God even for the battle that we go through. Because it shows He's alive within. And then He turns around and He says, but then I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, really, He's trapping me. And when I focus on myself, that's all I see. And when you focus on yourself, that's all you see. Don't focus on yourself. Look to Him. Look to the one who has loved you so much in spite of you, has given His life. In times of your ignorance, as Scripture says, winks at and calls all to believe, to repent and believe this gospel message that He has given His life for you. He says, oh wretched man that I am, disaster that I am, schizophrenic that I am, who will deliver me? He brings it very pointedly back to the flesh from the body of death. Who will do this? Left to my own devices, I'm like wandering in the wilderness, groping, seeing what I can find. And then He comes to the turning point and to the very pointed point. Who will deliver me? I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who will deliver me. It is Christ Jesus who has given His life. It is Christ Jesus who in reality has given us all things. It is Christ Jesus who paid the penalty for the sin debt that I battle with. It is Christ Jesus that has redeemed not just me, but in reality paid for the penalties of this world. I thank God for this gift. This is a celebration. That we are not guilty before the Heavenly Father by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we would relish and that we would live in this persona of knowing who we are. That we would have for the first time in our lives something that we desired. Freedom. That we owe this world nothing. Because God has given us everything. Now that we have received this gift of faith, we have received the understanding of grace, now we look at the world, if we could say it this way, in different shades, with different glasses. And we desire for everyone else to know what we have. It's not about business. It's not about prestige, whether you clean toilets, mow lawns, or preach the word. It's about revealing the fact of, in spite of who I am, Christ Jesus has given His life. May we reveal that to the world around us, that we would look to God, who through Jesus Christ has redeemed each and every one of us. He says, so I understand this. It's not going to change, Paul says. I understand that with the mind, I myself, with my spirit, with my soul, however you want to say it, I serve God. I serve God. He says, but this flesh will continue to serve sin. It permeates of it. So the big question is, where are you going to look for your help? To this flesh that permeates of sin? That reeks of it? Or are you going to look to Him who has canceled it? Kind of a tough message, isn't it? We like to turn around and think we can produce something. We can build something for God. No. He will build something for Himself in and through us when we stop looking to this flesh. When we seek from Him. So as I said, Father, forgive me. For I thought too much of my flesh. Father, forgive me. Because I thought to be a pastor, you had to serve in certain capacities. May we also have that same prayer. Use me as an instrument, no matter what I may be doing, no matter where I may be going, allow me to bring you honor and glory and not look to this flesh, for it's going to rot. Thanks be to God for that day when this robe of flesh we will drop and we will rise, and with new bodies, new tongues, new ears, new eyes, we will leap, we will praise. We might even dance, believe it or not, before our Heavenly Father on them streets of gold. May God be blessed. Today is the celebration of communion.